You're listening to the Barry Egan Tapes. My guest today is Victoria Smurfit. Victoria, I'm looking at you and you no more have the face of an ice queen, but it's a tag that's stuck all your life. Where did that come from?
It comes from having a very tough looking face. And if you're blonde, which I'm not, I'm just paid to be blonde, and you have a tough looking face, you end up and you throw on a British accent, which is what the Americans tend to do to me. You end up looking like an ice queen. That's just
so. Is it like posh and cold? It's the Smurfit name and the kind of.
Well, for the Irish, I think it was back in the day the Smurfit name. But at the same token, I've spent more of my life working in the UK and the US, and I've done some stuff here, obviously. But I when I worked here, it was Ballycasangel. It wasn't an ice queen.
Yeah.
But when I went to England, I was the tough gop and I was the ice queen. And the older you get, the less fat you have in your face, and the more like an ice queen you look like.
And do you use that face on your kids?
Oh, all the time. Sometimes I'll just stop and do nothing and look at them and say nothing for a beat. And then they do exactly what they know they have to do. It's brilliant.
Have you used it on men?
Oh, well, back in the day I did. No, not for a while.
Tell me back to your childhood. Was it a happy childhood primarily?
Oh, completely. Absolutely. It was a childhood of kiss chase and falling off trees and cutting your head open and running around and being Wonder Woman off rocks and making Angel Delight and running down and getting into the sea with a big tub of Angel Delight and the dogs.
Yeah.
And always going to the sewage part of the sea because that was warmer.
Yeah.
I didn't know it at the time, but
what were the big misconceptions about your childhood?
I think the only misconceptions are that I grew up like some spoiled little madam. We grew up in a big home in Dorky that was cold and spooky and lovely, really lovely. But it was the 80s, so it was the late 70s and 80s, so it was cold. And
so it was like a big house, but it wasn't exactly a well-heated house.
Yeah, it wasn't like a Celtic Tiger big house where it's all like radiators everywhere and, you know, hot and cold running heated towels. It was a cold Irish, you know, you run your bath and within minutes your bum's cold because the bath's freezing. You know, it was back in the day. But I think the only misconception is that we grew up feeling like we were privileged. We knew that we were really lucky because we had food in our bellies and a roof over our heads and that dad worked really hard. But my mum was very adamant that we all understood that that can go at any point and you have to find your own route.
And did it bother you that initially when you got into acting there was this perception of you that you'd grown up as this kind of princess in a tower being fed by servants?
It did at the time because it was weird because it bore no correlation to my experience. But you know, I think I've kind of got through and past all of that, you know, 100 years ago. But at the time, it was just odd. It was just...
But wasn't there some agent who said to you that if you wanted to work in Ireland, you better change your surname?
Yeah.
What did you say to him?
I won't work in Ireland.
Yeah.
And I didn't for a while. So
because of the surname?
Well, I think maybe because I realised, if that's what I'm going to be fighting, then there's no point. So I focused more in England and then became the Ice Queen.
Yeah. You moved to England with your parents when you were 14.
Yes.
Went to school, Ascot for girls. You were called, was it Red Sonia at school? Because you had braces, red hair, and you're very tall.
I got that in the school in Dublin. Like, I didn't even get that back in. And, you know, one redhead to the other. You know, it was, Red Sonia, He-Man, She-Ra, Small Fart, Sicky Barfoot, Mickey Small Fart. I had some great names. I had some great names.
Can you talk us through a few of them?
I've just talked you through all of them.
But like, why would you call those names?
Well, Mickey Smallfart because it rhymes with Vicky Smurfit.
All right.
Sicky Barfoot because it rhymes with Vicky Smurfit.
Yeah.
So it was always comedy and I loved that. And I'm okay with that. And Red Sonja, it was always piss-taking. And
where did that side of you come from? The kind of actressy, piss-taking kind of thing?
Well, my mum's side are very literary and my dad's side are very charismatic. So between the two, like dad's a super smart businessman, but he's also super charismatic. Like my territory is go off and pretend to be somebody else. His territory is, be a top businessman and be an incredible joke teller. Like he's known by everybody who knows him to be the best joke teller there is. He's just brilliant.
What about your mum?
My mum is... My mum's got the most fantastic sense of the ridiculous. She'll take something completely normal and turn it into something gloriously ridiculous that will make you hoot laughing. She looks like Faye Dunaway and has this just turn a phrase that will floor you. And if she'd actually sat down and written stuff, she would have been an incredible writer. But instead, we get it verbally. She's very funny.
And 2 years after you arriving in England at 16, your parents split up. How did that affect you psychologically?
Well, it wasn't ideal, obviously. But you know, it was right, and they're both happier since, and it's all good. But at the time, it was like, hang on a second, we've just moved here, and we're doing what? Oh.
And did you have friends in Surrey where you were living?
Yes. Yeah, I'd gone to this English school and St. George's in Ascot, and actually one of my great friends from school, I've just been in Birmingham doing a convention for Once Upon a Time, and she came up and she came and spent the night, and we wandered, you know, we sort of hung out in that hotel in Birmingham just catching up, and so I still have friends from there till the end of time.
So it wasn't a lonely time, you'd split up, your parents had split up,
But you turn into the Joker, don't you? I know to turn any moment of pain into comedy. That's what I'm used to doing.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
What did you learn about yourself from doing that?
That I don't want to deal with pain.
Ever?
Well, I just don't want to sit in it for hours. Like, I'll give it the respect it's due and then move on, Roy. You know.
But how do you deal with it if you're not really dealing with it?
You are dealing with it. You're just dealing with it on your terms. And you're dealing with it probably... probably slower. Yeah, instead of sitting down with a therapist and talking something out, I'll turn it into a ridiculous gag with my friends.
So did your parents wonder at 16 why their daughter...